Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 49, and I am Libby, your host, and this week we have returning guests.
Hello, I'm Josh.
And David.
And Ronnie in Vegas.
Thank you, because apparently these guys don't know where they're from.
We're in the same room with you.
No, they can't tell
we
that.
Live here.
All right, in the news, very little this week. The only thing I have is that ABC is doing a pilot called Identity, and it's starring Wentworth Miller and Orlando Jones. And the only reason I sort of care, because I think Wentworth is cute. That's about it. I don't really know what the pilot's about. Not sure that I particularly care, but hey. Be back on television, so maybe that'll be cool.
Glad to see him back in something after Prison Break.
Oh, well, I mean, I love season one of Prison Break, and then the show went downhill, and
yeah.
I don't think that was his fault. It was more of the story.
It's a premise, yeah.
The premise of the story.
Once you break out, what do you do with the Prison Break show?
Exactly. So, anyway. Oh, one more thing I forgot. Richard Dean Anderson is going to be guest starring on Fairly Legal. I think I mentioned that in the last podcast, but what I confirmed is that his episode is going to be this coming up week, and he's going to be in as many as 5 episodes, but not sure exactly how many because the episode order went from 13 to 10. So I'm excited and can't wait to see him back on TV. All right, let's get on with the new shows, and right out of the box, we're going to start with the premiere of the show called Chicago Code, or The Chicago Code. And the previews to me looked pretty good, but I wasn't quite sure until I started watching it. I have to say, I'm not from Chicago, so I know they shoot it in Chicago, so I'm not sure about like what's authentic and what's not, and I always can tell that stuff on LA, but Chicago shows I can't. But that wasn't really what was important to me. I thought that Jessica Biel's and Delroy Lindo, and I don't know who the guy is, who's the main cop.
Yeah.
But the three of those guys did a really good job of selling me on the show.
Yeah.
I think the only negative I have is the voiceover.
Yeah, like, it doesn't really work for me. It's kind of intermittent.
I was okay with the voiceover so long as it's only in the first episode, just like as an introduction sort of thing.
Well, we don't know yet. We haven't seen the second episode. I think I think the action of the show and what's going on with the story is fine. I like it. I'm interested. I want to see what happens next week. The only time that the voiceover worked was
when the guy got shot.
Yes, that was brilliant.
That was awesome. And I was... At that point, I was like, you know what? The voiceover was totally worth it just for that moment.
I have to agree. That was a very good moment. I didn't see it coming. And it's like his voiceover abruptly just stops when he gets shot. I was like, all right, that's nice. Ronnie, what did you think?
And actually, I liked it. Jennifer Biel, I mean, I like her, but I'm not sure. She's got to work on it, though, for me.
Oh, you didn't buy her authoritative? She seemed too young, or what?
She seemed too young, which is weird because, you know, I mean, she is up there. But at the same time, she just felt too young, and I didn't quite believe it yet. But, like, it's just the first episode, though, you know?
I actually had the opposite effect. I thought that she, surprisingly, was very strong.
Yeah, she sold it for me a lot more than I was expecting her to.
Yeah, I really thought I was going to have a problem, and I didn't.
Yeah, I thought that she was more mature than I was expecting her to be. Yeah,
and I liked the way it started off, showing her how she grew up, and they kept taking money from her father, and it really gave the background to why, you know, she wants that job. But I don't know why. For some reason, it just didn't sell for me quite. You know what I mean? As I liked it, and especially at the end, like you said, with the gunshot and everything that happened at the end, I think I was believing it a lot more by the end.
Yeah, and I like the fact that her friend was all like, well, I don't know, I don't want to get tangled up in this. This guy's really powerful. I'm not going to do it, blah, blah, blah. But then once he sees that the dude went after his friend, he was like, all right, I'm in.
Yeah.
It was like, whatever we got to do.
And I like the cop guy I don't know the actor, but I thought he was really strong.
Yeah, I like he's got this interesting quirkiness about his character. Not like goofy, but he just kind of...
Jason Clark, okay, is who it is.
Oh, thank you. You just randomly came up that within your head.
Yes, I did. I came up with it randomly.
So, I thought he did a really good job. He has like this kind of grisly kind of thing going, but he's got the soft side and all that. Like, I think
his quirk about how he just burns through partners really quickly.
Or
he just bails on them, like, after a day.
Well, it's all more, he doesn't want to get attached to them.
Yeah.
That was pretty much where I was getting from that. But, yeah, I I'd say I'm in.
Yeah.
I am from Chicago, so I like the any show that is set in Chicago and shows exteriors and stuff, is okay in my book. I'll watch it for that reason, if only to start watching it. And I thought they did, you know, there's the usual mistakes that nobody's going to catch unless they know the different streets, like they're on one side of the city, then all of a sudden they're on the other side. You know, 5 minutes away, it's not 5 minutes away, but...
Yeah, well, they do that in L.A. all the time.
You get that in any city, really.
Yeah, absolutely. But other than that, it was cool to see some of the Chicago landmarks and neighborhoods that I know.
So what did you think of the Chicago accents? I asked my mom that, and she was like, I don't know what Chicago... She lives in Chicago, and she doesn't know.
Yeah, well, Jennifer Beals is from Chicago, but I saw an interview where she said she had gotten rid of the accent a long time ago, and she had to work with a dialect coach to get it back. And specifically, not just any Chicago accent, but a West Side accent.
Oh, okay.
Which is, you know, I don't know that there's a huge distinction. Of course, I don't think I have an accent, so, you know, people say that I have an accent from right. Chicago, but... but I thought it was interesting. I thought you know, it didn't not work for me. So
didn't not work. That's a double negative. So you can't answer early.
First episode, pilot episode. You can, you know, I give it a chance. At least if I don't see anything wrong with it, I'll give it a chance for a few more episodes and see if I like it. So.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not gonna say I'm not jumping from the rooftop singing its praises, but yeah. I'm in for next week. Well, I want to see what happens.
Oh, how many shows do you watch the pilot and say, oh, I've got to watch the whole season? You know,
there've been a couple. There've been a couple, yeah, that I've seen the pilot, and I was like, oh my god, this is not one of them, but it's good enough that when I got to the end, I was like, I want to see them get Delroy Lindo. Like, I kind of, I want that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I agree too. Yeah, and I like the young cop too. Like, you know, like now that you know that he wants to keep him as his partner because he knows things and he's smart. You know what I mean? And pulled him in that way.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's move on. On the timer again, if anybody is curious, while we're cranking through these so fast, we got a lot of shows this week.
We got tons.
All right, the next show up is Hawaii Five-0. This week's episode was the whole fugitive.
Well,
she wasn't a fugitive. She was a witness.
She was a witness, yeah. Okay, yeah. This was the episode that I personally really liked because every character had their own personal moment to be badass.
That's true, yeah. And usually they give it just to the main guy and he gets to do it and that's pretty much it. But everybody had their moment to shine this week, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, but McGarry was a little bit over the top with Rambo McGarry.
Oh, I loved that. What got that for me was like he's in Rambo mode, he's holding the giant tree trunk, and he's talking to Danny on the sat phone.
That was the best.
He's like, hey, dude, just you need to calm down. I can hear it in your voice. You're upset. Yeah. You need to bring it down. And then he's almost
and
losing
he's
the
like
rope.
In camouflage in the desert, in the forest.
Oh, and then I like the part when he was interrogating the witness or the guy he captures, and he's like sharpening a stick.
Yeah.
And the dude's like, he's like, I need you to tell me what I need to know. And then after he finishes, he goes, oh, I wasn't going to torture you. You have a punctured lung. I need to cut you open right now.
Yeah. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting that.
And Danny's episode, or part of the episode with his ex-wife and the daughter, and then the... I mean, what do you call the relationship to the guy who's married your ex-wife?
I don't know.
The other guy, whatever you call that guy.
Yeah.
But, like, all of that was all pretty good because I liked the fact that he was barely under control.
Yeah.
Like, during that whole thing.
I loved the scene where he corners the housing guy in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And,
oh, my God.
And, like, you can just... This is why I love Scott Kahn because he... The entire time he's talking to him, you can see him just, like, say one wrong thing, and I will beat you to a pulp.
Right. All that was... And who's... Kent? Jen? Oh, no, wait.
Chen.
Chen, whose name is remarkably similar to Jen.
Yes.
Which was his name on the other show.
Yes.
He had a really good... Some really good moments running through the forest with the woman. Though I object to the fact that he took her... McGarrett took her shoes. I was like, they're running through the forest. I don't care if I'm leaving footprints. There's no way she can run through the forest without shoes on.
Yeah.
So that was my little issue. And then, but I like the fact that Chen did a really good job of getting her out of there. And he did the whole, I'm rescuing you now. Yeah. Oh, and yeah, and then...
and then Kono
got
in
the
courthouse.
Yeah, she got to kick this woman through a door.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was exciting. It was fun. It was one of the better episodes, I'd say, from Hawaii Five-0. So
definitely.
Thumbs up.
Right. So I was going to say one thing, though, but why didn't, like, in the rescue, why didn't either of them give her their vest so that she doesn't get shot?
Oh, that's true.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Everyone had a vest on. That's
except her, the person who's being shot at.
Yes.
Yeah, let's give her the vest. I kept on yelling at my TV. It's like, give the woman the vest. Come on, people.
That's a very good point. I didn't even think about that.
All right, moving on. Next show up is Castle. And this week's episode of Castle was...
The lottery winner.
The lottery winner guy. And you're trying to figure out... This guy's got millions. And I like the whole... They think that the butler did it at the beginning.
Yeah. Which is like, of course, the butler didn't do it. But right. then...
But then the butler did do it. Because, I mean, I like the show generally. Whoever they suspect first is pretty much who actually did it.
Yeah.
So the fact that they suspect... Well, they suspect the butler, like, second or third.
Something. Oh, I... Castle was pretty much right out at the gate. The butler did it because there's a butler.
but this one was... I never really get caught up in the mystery of like who done it. I don't know if I care. But I like the winding road of trying to figure out who had the motivation to kill this guy. Mm-hmm. And it was a nice twisty journey. I thought it was interesting.
I mean, all the... The mystery journeys on Castle are kind of twisty and windy like this. So I sort of knew where they were going with it pretty early on. But I'm okay with that because it's just a fun ride.
I also like the question they were asking everybody, like, what would you do if you won the lottery? You got millions of dollars. What's your thing?
Yeah.
And then Castle's response was that it magnifies your... Well, because he knows.
Yeah.
So he's like, it just magnifies your personality, whatever it is.
Right.
And then his mother won the lottery, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And then pretty much did... Well, it makes sense. She opened a school to make herself famous.
Right. Yeah. Which magnifies her personality. That's her magnification of her personality.
So. Exactly. And that totally works. Yeah. And I like the moment at the end where he goes over to Becky's house and tells her that he's making a
scholarship
fund for her mom.
Yeah.
And you have this moment where you don't know whether Becky's going to be happy or like beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
I think you know, but...
Dealing with her mom, Becky's tricky.
Yeah. But especially like when someone gives something to her unsolicited.
Yeah, she
or does something for her unsolicited, like you never know if she's gonna be okay with it or she's gonna be like back off creep.
Right.
I don't know. I don't buy that. I mean the show is Castle, it's those two characters, they're always gonna come back together, whether she yells, flames out, and then the next episode or the next day or whatever.
I agree that they'll eventually get back, but the last one of the biggest fights that they've had was about her mom.
When he went in to investigate it.
Yeah, he went to investigate it on his own without telling her and thought he was helping, and she flipped out on him. So I think it's justified that for a second you kind of go, is she going to flip out?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And she was like, oh no, thank you.
And she's so unpredictable anyway. I mean, that's what's so fun about her character. You never know what she's going to do, and she always has something up her sleeve, you know?
Oh, was this... This was the one where they went to that club, right?
Yes. I loved her as the flues, you know?
Yeah. And Castle couldn't think. He was just checking out her butt, like, the whole time.
Although, to be fair, if I were in a club with her, I'd be doing the same thing.
I'm not arguing the point. I just thought it was just hilarious that he couldn't speak or do anything he was supposed to do. So then he finally gets the drinks, and she's like, reaches out, and he goes, oh, you're drinking? She goes, no!
The cops!
All that was pretty good.
And how about her in the Ferrari? I love her taking over, and it's like, I'm driving.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. He was like, oh, we're taking my Ferrari. She's like, no, I'm driving. And he goes, what? But he's completely helpless with her. Like, all she has to do is say, give me. And he gives her whatever she wants.
Yep, pretty much.
But I like that about them. They're
they're so cute.
They are.
They are.
I do like them as a couple. All right. Moving on. We're cranking through this. I'm very happy.
Yeah.
Moving on to White Collar. This week's episode was guest starring Billy D. Williams. And you have to be really cool when you say that. You can't just like say his name normally.
Uh-huh. You know, unless you're Turk on Scrubs and then you can scream like an idiot for a second.
I missed that reference.
Oh, there was an episode of Scrubs where Billy D. Williams comes in.
And then they just scream?
And Turk just screams like a little girl and goes, Lando Calrissian!
But I thought that this week's episode was really good in that basically Billy D. Williams' character was an older version of where Caffrey's going.
Right.
He's like, the magnification, this is your life if you keep going down this road. And I like Peter's comment where he said, you can either be a man or you can be a con. You can't be both.
That was cool,
So what did you think of the episode?
I liked it. I thought it was mostly a standalone episode. We didn't really deal too much with the music box or the code or whatever they're building from it or anything like that. Right. But I was okay with that. It was interesting to sort of see this whole idea of like what Caffrey could become should he stay as a con man. But it sort of really enhanced the whole idea that Caffrey is at this crossroads of being. Staying like a con man or becoming legit and going with the FBI.
I mean, I think he's more on the line of being legit because he's been given. I mean, in season one, there was always the question: Is he going to run? Is he going to run? Is he going to run?
Yeah.
But now at this point, I don't see him running.
I know, but I still like the idea that the temptation is there.
Right, but I'd say that there has to be a really compelling reason at this point for him. To do anything to betray Peter's trust.
It would have to be related to Kate.
Yeah,
of course. It has to be. But see, at this point, all he has to do is go to Peter and go, this has to do with Kate, help me out. And Peter would totally help him. There's no reason for him.
Yeah, but there could be a situation that she would be going somewhere that he'd have to try to go without the FBI following him, without his link to the FBI.
Well, I think Pete would still be okay with that. I think it would have to be like a situation where he would have to very blatantly and harshly break the law.
Right.
Do we know she's dead?
Yes.
She was in the plane?
She was standing at the door when the plane blew up. You could see her standing there and then flames.
Okay.
Yeah, she was pretty much engulfed
in
fireball.
Because, I mean, that would not be surprising that they said, oh, no, that was a dummy of her or something.
No. That was definitely her. She was standing
right
there.
That would
have
to be one incredibly good dummy.
Yes.
It was a robot.
No, she's dead. It's all about finding who killed her and why she was killed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new thing. I'm not the conspiracy part of the show. I'm not sure I care about as much. I really care about the characters, their interactions, their friendships, all of that. But this is not a show that's a conspiracy show or an arc show, really.
Maybe not, but I personally really like the conspiracy arc, and I want to see where it goes, and I want to see what this is ultimately leading to. Not in, like, an Alias sort of way, where, like, every episode I need to know what happens next. But,
right.
But I look forward to seeing more revealed from it.
Okay. I get that. Any other comments? Nope. All right. Moving on. Woohoo! We got a double episode of Glee this week.
Mm-hmm.
First one was a Super Bowl episode, which was all about the cheerleaders and getting shot out of a cannon.
Or Brittany getting shot out of a
cannon. And making the choice between being a football player, being on Glee, or being a cheerleader. It's like hard line in the sand. Where does your loyalty lie?
And, of course, they ultimately chose Glee, but we knew that was going to happen.
Well, I said the big difference is last season, that's not what the choice would have been.
Well, true.
So this season, the fact that everybody had no problem picking Glee. Well, I wouldn't say had no problem picking Glee, but the football players picked Glee without a question.
Well, yeah.
And the cheerleaders, if you think about the fact that your coach might be trying to kill you.
Yeah. like Quinn, okay, she might still have a little bit of the popularity bug.
Right.
Like, I'll be more popular if I'm on the Cheerios. But Brittany, I think, was pretty much like, I am out.
Well, Brittany, she got Brittany to sign the papers. And as dumb as Brittany is, because she is, let's admit
she's a brick. Yeah.
I was going to say it was rock.
Yeah.
Brick is the same. She's like, you have to go out of the cannon because the little baby cannons won't eat if you don't. I was like, what?
And only Brittany would buy that story.
Oh my god. That just seemed like she was just... That's like taking candy from a baby.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
That was distressing.
My one little gripe with this episode was the very unnecessary sidetrack to Kurt and what was going on at Dalton.
Oh, they just had a song. That's literally all it was.
Yeah, they had a song and like one scene with Kurt, which was not really relevant to anything.
Yeah, but I really liked their song.
I thought their song was okay.
I thought it was awesome. Yeah, actually, the thing that I thought was hilarious about it, I was like, isn't this a woman's song? Like, isn't this, this is Beyonce.
Well, you see, this is what gets me. It's like every song they've done has been of that kind. So I'm like, is really, are Kurt and Blaine really the only two gay guys on the Warblers?
I don't think so. I don't think they're even saying that at all.
Well, it's been implied. Like when, because there was a scene early on when Kurt asked Blaine, like, kind of, pretty much asked him, like, okay, so is everybody at Dalton gay? And Blaine kind of responded, like, no, I'm one of the few, or, like, the only one.
Well, I'd maybe say few, but, yeah, the Warblers, it's just, it's a matter of who gets to pick the song. But, yeah, I did think that it was odd, because I was, like, I remembered the song. I was like, I know this song. I was like, why do I picture a woman singing this song? I was like, oh, this is Beyonce.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was still, I still really liked the song, so I was happy.
Well, I don't watch Glee, but what did you guys think of the Thriller, you know, rendition? I actually enjoyed, I watched that part of it. I enjoyed that.
Oh, it was a Thriller crossover with some other song.
It's some song by the Yeah.
Yeah.
Heads Will Roll.
Right.
Right, on the football field. I thought they did a really good job with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, especially their big numbers. They always do a good job with their big numbers.
Yeah. I mean, it had a little bit more to it than, like, you'd expect from, like, a Thriller flash mob, which I was fine with.
Right.
And
I did like the brains thing seemed a little cheesy. Well, you know what was cheesy? Yeah. Why did they have to win the game? That was unnecessary.
Yeah.
I really thought that, I was like, this is not Friday Night Lights.
Well, there was so much reputation-wise for everybody hinging on the game because it was a championship game.
Right.
And
I just felt that it just felt cheap. That's all.
I did sort of feel like, why would the team quit, and then why would you be okay with putting pretty much an all-girl team on the field at a championship game?
Well, the other choice was to forfeit.
Honestly, I think forfeit would have been a better option.
Yes, it would have been less embarrassing.
Exactly.
That's true. But then they wouldn't have got to do the halftime show, and they wanted to do the halftime show.
Yeah, and it's like, why do we care about a halftime show? I've been in halftime shows. Nobody cares.
Well, at my school, that was on the opposite side. Everyone cared about the halftime show. Okay. People only came to see the halftime show.
Yeah, but I'm from I'm from the same kind of town they're from.
Well, it depends depends on your entertainment. So anyway, off track.
Yeah. Okay.
We're off track. All right. So the other thing at the end of the episode, I like the fact that Katie Kirk interviewed Sue Sylvester about her great loss and defeat, which was awesome.
It's like, how do you feel being a complete embarrassment to cheerleading coaches everywhere?
Yeah, oh, it's like, crush! That was great. Alright, the second episode of Glee was... Oh, the kissing booth.
The Valentine's episode.
Valentine's Day episode, kissing booth. Mm-hmm. Everybody's sleeping with... It was like, we have now a pentagon, was that what
you
said?
It was like, it was a love triangle, now it's like a pentagon or something like that.
Yeah. And that is a pentagon of which I care nothing about. I don't care about any of those people. Who sleeps with who? What? I don't care.
I don't too much, but I feel like this episode just still showcases for me why the supporting cast is way more interesting than the main cast.
Yeah, well, you mean Rachel and Finn? Like, yeah.
I'm so over that.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought Lauren, the big girl who Puck was totally in.
That was great.
That was incredible. Like by like the halfway point of the episode, I had a crush on her. I was like, this girl is awesome.
I think also the reason she stood him up was because as much as she talks about how awesome she is, I think she still has... She's aware of what she looks like. And she's aware of being embarrassed and stuff like that. So she doesn't want to put herself in that position.
Yeah. But I still just loved, like, Puck decides to serenade her with Fat Bottom Girls.
Oh, that's such a bad choice.
I was cringing the entire time.
That's such a bad choice. Uh-huh. She's like, this is the first love song I've ever had sung to me, and the worst.
And it made me feel terrible. And, you know, I was glad because, like, they gave her the right reaction to that.
Right.
As opposed to, like, oh, he loves me for who I am. I'm so into him.
Yeah. Like, she's like, you just called me a fat girl.
Yeah.
And that's all you see in me. That's basically what the song says.
Yeah.
So, I liked her reaction, too. Because she's like, I'm more than that. And and she's like...
And she is. Like, I really do like her now.
And that's one of the things I do like about Glee, is they have that character and they have Beast.
Yeah.
And they make both of them very interesting.
They do. I love Beast.
I do too. She's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah. It sounds like you're talking about a Disney movie, the character names.
I know.
Yes, but that's how Glee rolls, man.
Yeah, no, I don't watch the show, but it's
well, the thing is, her name is Beast.
Yeah, and she's the football coach.
She's a football coach. She's this huge woman, but she's got like this really, she's almost exactly like the Disney character where she looks frightening or whatever, mm-hmm. but she's this really, really nice person.
Yeah.
And you end up loving her within like one episode of meeting her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think like when they gave her like her first real big scene, yeah. I was like, I love this person.
Yeah. And then you feel, you're just so angry with her. Anytime anybody treats Beast wrong, you just really get upset.
Oh, yeah. And now I feel like I'm going to be that way with Lauren.
Yeah, I like Lauren now too. Because at first I thought she was just some random character that they were just going to put in for one episode. Because they needed an extra person for Kurt being gone.
Right.
So I figured, you know, I didn't think Kurt was going to be on this long. So I figured she's only going to be in a couple episodes. She's being sidelined. But they gave her some interesting stuff to do.
Yeah.
And so I'm really kind of impressed.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on from Glee. The next thing we want to talk about is NCIS. Mm-hmm. And NCIS this week.
I'm calling this the spoiler episode for me because I haven't watched those seasons yet. So now I know how it all ends.
Yes. Well, on the reverse side of it, if you'd actually been watching NCIS from the beginning, this was one of the most awesome payoff episodes ever. Because NCIS is normally, you know, there's a lot of standalones.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a little arc. You get like 2-3 episodes in a row that kind of go together. But other than that, it's pretty much standalone. But the whole thing with Kate...
Yeah.
They foreshadowed that. There was, like, in the finale of season one, they foreshadow her death.
Mm-hmm.
Which was awesome, in retrospect. And then, when it all builds up to her character dying, everything, like, it's this huge arc that's, like, 4 or 5 episodes.
Okay.
Right? So all that goes together. And then they have a really hard time struggling with her death, and that lasts for a few more episodes. And then Ziva takes forever to fit in, and all this other stuff. And so you've gotten to the place now that we've seen Ziva on the show for so long that some people, like you, haven't seen the episodes with Kate, you don't miss her.
I've only seen like maybe 3 or 4 episodes with Kate, and those are like the first few episodes of season one.
Right, and so you don't kind of, you just kind of don't get it. So when you got your psychologist shows up, she's like, I'm going to head shrink all these people, and you're going, oh, it's going to be one of those episodes.
Yeah.
And what was interesting is when we start getting flashbacks when people are talking about their problems, about a quarter to a halfway through the episode, I was like, why are most of these flashbacks about
Kate?
Yeah, like,
it was all about Kate. And
I thought that was strange. I was like, that's a strange set of flashbacks. I mean, because she's only the first 2 seasons.
Yeah. Although I have to say, when they did the flashback to the moment where Kate got killed, I was not expecting it and like nearly jumped out of my seat.
Well, I was braced for it because I knew
I figured everybody who had seen that saw it coming. I had not, did not see it coming, and I was like, oh my God!
That's the way you're supposed to react in the actual episode.
I know.
And so you get all these flashbacks, and I like how the fact that Ducky was like, I am an expert in psychology. Your psychological methods will not work on me. And then 5 seconds later, he's pouring his heart out. He's like, yes, I know that I deal with bodies all the time, and this is my future. And I was like, wow, that's depressing. And then the moment when Dinozzo goes, I know who you are, I was like, you do?
Ooh.
Who is she? Because the psychologist is like, she's interviewing everyone.
Right. He was about 30 seconds ahead of me on that one.
Yeah, you figured it out?
After about a minute after he said that, I was like, who could she be? Oh, wait a second. And then they made some mention of Kate, or they saw the desk or something.
No, yeah. Well, they basically, as soon as they show her sleeping behind Kate's desk, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much when you're supposed to get it. But yeah, his moment where he's like, I know who you are, I was like, you do? I was like, who the heck is she? And all that was pretty good, and I like Gibbs figured out who she was. I don't know, did Gibbs know who she was from the beginning? I couldn't tell.
I think he might have, which would explain why he was ducking her the whole time. Well, I guess not, because she's
he would have ducked her anyway. Yeah. I thought he was more polite to her than he would have been to a standard head shrinker, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I was confused if what she was doing was all business, or if it was partially personal.
Oh, it was definitely personal.
It was all personal, yeah.
Was it all personal?
No, but, no, but it was business enough that she could get clearance to do it.
That's what I'm saying, is how could she get clearance if it was so personal to her?
Well, I don't think she told them.
She gives them, like, the right kind of story to get the clearance, and she does it, and then it becomes personal for her getting closure.
Right. Okay. I think she probably didn't tell, like, she didn't necessarily lie and be like, no, I'm not Kate's sister, but
who
I think.
Who would she have to get clearance from?
The NCIS.
Yeah.
So she went, remember at the beginning?
It wouldn't take much to get clearance to do a psychoanalysis on that team.
Yes, they need it. And I like the joke. Did you get the joke? A man walks into a bar. I mean, did you get the joke before they told you the punchline? The joke was a man walks to the bar, he asks for a glass of water, and the bartender takes a shotgun and shoots it at him, and he thanks the guy and gives
and
him a tip.
Right.
And so then, what's the punchline?
The hiccups.
Right, he has hiccups. But I was just saying, did you get it before they told you?
I think I had just heard that joke or something before that. So.
I've heard it before, but I didn't remember it.
Yeah.
But what I liked was the twist that they put on it, because Gibbs gets the joke, and he goes, oh, he had the hiccups, and so he gets it. And then she adds the line about, yeah, your team is like the bartender treating the hiccups with a shotgun instead of a glass of water.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Uh-huh.
That's and she's like, and you guys can't see the difference anymore.
That's a very good point, yes.
Yeah, I thought that was really poignant. And I think it gave Gibbs pause. Like,
yeah.
he took a moment to think about that. And it's, what is it? It's like, if you have a hammer, every problem seems like a nail or something. How's that go?
Something like that,
it's
yeah.
So I'm saying it wrong.
Like if you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Everything looks like a nail,
yeah.
Right.
Right.
And that's pretty much what they were saying. And I'm afraid that I have fear that they're going to shake up the team. And I don't want my team shaken up at this point.
Well, what episode is this? Is this like 14 or something like
that? Yeah, we still got the rest of the season.
Yeah, but I mean, we're starting to get into that point where it's like, okay, we need to get into a bigger arc where things are going to get shaken up for this season.
Yeah, I don't mind stuff's getting shaken up for the season. I just don't want, like, I have this fear that Gibbs is going to end up in Vance's job. That's...
Yeah, I after this episode, I sort of feel like Vance is not long for this world.
He's going to pull a Richard Dean Anderson.
Don't say that. Don't say that, man. That's pretty much what I'm fearing,
yeah,
and I don't want that to happen. All right. Because it's gotten renewed for another season. NCIS got renewed for next season.
Cool.
Was that the show? Was it NCIS or NCIS LA that had an accident on the set?
That was NCIS.
NCIS.
Yeah.
They had a random, like, their guard was standing at the guard booth, and the transport guy just, like, had a heart attack or
something like that,
and crashed into the booth and killed the guard.
Jeez.
So it was just totally random.
So they shut down production. I don't know how long they got it shut down or whatever.
Well, they said they want to make sure that doesn't happen again. I was like, how do you make sure a guy doesn't have a heart attack? Like,
make sure all your drivers don't have heart conditions, I guess.
I don't know. But anyway, how do I follow that up?
And so, thumbs up for NCIS.
All right. The next show we have to talk about is the season finale of Human Target. And I'm saddened that it's the season finale. It only got 13 episodes. It did not get the back nine. So I have very much fear for its survival. And so, strangely, I am wishing low ratings on any of their new shows.
Who's this?
Foxes.
But don't be pessimistic. It's coming back.
Well, yes, we need to send in like hot dogs or whatever. Subway sandwiches for Chuck brought Chuck back, and I can't think of what we would send in for Human Target. I got nothing.
I haven't watched it, so I can't say.
You watch Human Target?
Yeah.
Okay, so the finale. The finale was called Mr. Marshall.
Marshall Pucci.
Thank you. And they did a really good job of cementing the whole romance and dealing with the ex-husband.
Right.
In a very classy way where you didn't feel like loyalties were... Anyone was betrayed or anything like that.
Right.
Because one, it's been a year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was totally into this episode. I actually was afraid they were going to leave it on a cliffhanger, because about halfway through the episode, I was like, how the heck are they going to get out of this? You got the CIA chasing you.
I thought it was a cliffhanger too, and I was like, how much time is left? They got like 10 minutes or something, and I didn't know what they were going to do.
Right. It was great. It was great tension.
Well, when they jumped, I just stopped because it's like time stopped for me. It's like they did not just do that. How are you going to get out of that?
Right. Well, I liked Guerrero. Say his name wrong every time. Guerrero. I like the fact that when they were like bringing out everybody's CIA files and everybody had a file, they had like boxes, stacked boxes for him. And they're going through it and they're like, yeah, this guy's going to be difficult. And then as soon as they threatened his son, which we didn't know he had a son,
right?
He was like, bets are off. Everything is like, what we were all, they were all going to go on the run, and he was like, screw that.
Right. That's his button. That's his hot button.
Yeah, and they were, they was like, let's push his button. He was like, yeah, you pushed my button.
You don't want to push my button, dude.
And the way that was resolved at the end, my God, that was intense, you know?
Oh, yeah. That was...
They walked a little bit of a fine line, because you don't want Guerrero to come off as a bad guy, even though he is kind of a bad guy.
Well, I mean, so that guy, like, was a CIA guy, was a bad guy, too, so I didn't have a problem with him killing that dude. I really didn't.
But that's the thing, you got to make sure he's a bad enough guy that Guerrero can kill him, and you don't want to see too much of it to... him to be too mean about it, to, you know.
Well, we know that he tortures people all the time.
Right, and that's why it's difficult to keep him on the good side.
I actually...
He walks that fine line, you know what I mean? And they want him to, but it's very hard to keep him there because, like, you know, like you said, because people will turn off from him if he's too bad.
Absolutely.
But if he's not badass, exactly, nobody will believe him.
Yeah. Right. And I liked it. I thought they did a good job. I like the fact that when Ames was talking about, I guess we're going to go on a run together, and he was like, I'd rather be caught.
Yeah. I like what they're doing with those two characters. I mean, they're such an unlikely pair, and right, they... It's sort of, you know, almost believable what they, how they interact.
Well, she's very much, she's got this big brother idolizing thing for him, and he's very much like the big brother, annoyed at her, like, why are you hanging around me? Go away, little sister.
Right. She plays, you know, she plays, I'm so tough, please help me.
Yeah. and we got the, oh, I like with Chance and, oh, what's the... Chi McBride's character. What is his name?
Winston.
Winston. I like how they have that moment at the beginning. And he was like, just because we're men doesn't mean we can't talk about our feelings. And
Chance was like,
absolutely. We can't talk about our feelings.
That's exactly what we can't do.
That was good. I like to see Jake Weber again, too, since Medium, he as the bad guy.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, who's that? Okay.
He was such a good guy on Medium, and it's like such a change for him.
Oh, yeah. He was pretty bad in this episode.
Yes, he was very bad.
Yeah, so it was very nice how they played it, where they, you know, and I love the scene, like, when, you know, when she was walking out to get the information and everything fell apart and the bus went in front, you know, I mean, just everything fell apart. I love that, and how much they were in control,
right,
of that whole scene.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is it shows you, I was like, who are these guys? Like, they countered every piece of intelligence that they did, but it also showed that Chance could spot all their agents, which was good, but still, it was, all that was really tense.
Oh my gosh.
And then at the end, when Chance is running to, or driving really fast to the airplane, I was like, he's totally going to miss the plane. He's totally going to miss the plane. Because he was all happy, and I was like, they're going to screw him. He's totally going to miss the plane. And then you see the plane take off, and you're like, oh. And then the doors open, and she's standing there. I was like, yes! I'm such a sucker.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But what's their together name? We don't have a name for them. Like, what would you call them? Like,
it was like Ilsa and Chance don't really go together. I have no idea you would mix that name.
Chilsa?
Chilsa, I
guess. There you go. Oh, you won the prize.
Okay, the word is coined.
It probably should be uncoined, but okay.
You got a comment?
I was going to say, it was a little hard for me to believe that this organization or this group, who was so prepared for everything at the meet, they, you know, were able to get away and had the decoys ready and everything. That in the end, how they got away seemed a little unbelievable, but to me. But
oh, you mean how? Oh, that they all put their guns down?
Yeah, they were just like, oh, we weren't prepared for you to actually come and show up and hold guns to our heads. You know, we didn't have another set of guys watching the outside or, you know, whatever.
Well, they did, but that was the cool part, is they took them down. They took down their surveillance. They blinded them.
Yeah,
before all that happened.
But they were so prepared. They had any number of guys that they could have had, you know, that were.
Well, if you think about it, first of all, it's not the full CIA. It's this one guy who's rogue. So you have to assume he has a finite number of people that work for him. It's not like unlimited resources. And Chance killed like a lot of them.
Oh my God.
Chance killed quite a few of those agents.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't the full CIA, if it was the full CIA that was, it was official op, I would agree with you. They would have had unlimited resources and secondary backups and all that stuff. But because it was just this one guy and his group of guys, then...
Yeah. I guess, I mean, they were so hard to fight at the beginning, they were...
Well,
they were,
also, they didn't expect them. And they didn't know... Right. They didn't even know they were there. They didn't know they were there. They didn't know what the deal was with them at all. But once they knew, hey, they've set up in our own offices. Hey, they've got the... They knew that stuff. So then they could fight them. So I don't have as much a problem with that because of that. Okay. That's all. But yes, I do acknowledge your issues with that. All right. Moving on to the next show is the premiere of Justified, Season 2. Ronnie, what'd you think?
Oh, my God. I love this show. I love every bit of it. Even as, you know, I mean, the this episode was like with the woman and this whole, this other little town and like how they have control of it was just wild. But I just love every bit of Justified.
I have to say the new villain, she comes off as being this super sweet old lady. And wow, is she evil? I was actually thrown off by, because when you first meet her, you think she's not the nicest person, but you know, she's growing weed in her backyard, whatever. You know, he's like,
right.
You think she's kind of a small time, just looking out for her family, trying to get a little extra money, no big deal. But then when you actually see her full colors, you're like,
oh my God.
Whoa.
Homegirl is evil. Oh, you know, I mean, the whole poison scene was just so freaking intense, you know?
It was so disturbing. I was very, very much like this guy, I felt so bad for him. Like, all he was trying to do was protect his little girl.
Right.
That's like, he finds out that there's a sex offender following his daughter around. So he reports the guy. You know, and he does it anonymously. He thinks, because he's working for the criminals. But he finds out that this sex offender dude who likes girls his daughter's age has been following his daughter. So he calls the feds. It's like, there's this, I spotted this guy. He's chasing my daughter. He thought he did it anonymously and ended up that they figured out it was him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they went after that guy. What he didn't know was that guy actually worked for his boss. Ooh. And so he had no idea. And he was like, I had no clue. And in his boss's favor, she didn't know that dude was a sex offender.
Right.
Because her thing is, she's like, I would never have hired a guy that likes, you know, little girls. I would have never done it. But they didn't know. And
that was a creepy scene between the sex offender and the daughter. It
was creepy, but it was also awesome in that that girl was smart. Yes. Like, she was so smart. I was like, who is this actress? Like, she's like 12 or 13, and she's brilliant.
Oh, really?
Like, she gets in this room with, like, she's hanging out in this room getting some whatever herbs or whatever. She's actually getting weed, but she's cutting weed for her dad, right? Mm-hmm. And this creepy guy walks up to her, and he tries to be all charming and nice, because he thinks, he doesn't know that she knows who he is, and so he's trying to be all charming. And every time he tries to be charming, she analyzes what he says and throws it back at him.
Oh, wow.
And then she's kind of like, how did you imagine this going in your head? Did you think that I would just, you know, think, oh, you're such a nice guy, and maybe we'd fight a little bit, and then we'd end up tickling each other on the ground, and then next thing you know, I'm like... Like, she actually basically breaks down the scenario for this dude.
Oh, wow.
And he's just as frozen. And she's like, oh, you can't speak now because you're into the scenario I just painted for you. And I was like, whoa. But she did it in a way that as she's got him kind of paralyzed, she manages to get herself to the door so that she can get out of the room. Because before, he was blocking the only way out of the room. But by her saying all this stuff, he sits down and she walks up to him and gets herself access to the stairs. And freaking beelines it out of there, because after, and then he actually jumps down from the roof or the ceiling. I was like, what are you, Batman? Like, like, she gets downstairs and you think she's clear, and he jumps off something and ends up in front of her.
And then he
pulls a gun. He was like, yeah, we were gonna try. He was like, I was gonna try it the charming way, but I'll try it this way. And he pulls a gun on her, and she still manages to get out of there, and he ends up with cuts all over his face,
because she
walked him into a trap, which was awesome. And
okay,
so
I like this girl.
That's what I was like, I totally like this girl. And you feel for her father, because even though her father's a total loser, he still wants to protect his daughter.
Right.
And what ends up happening to him in the course of him trying to protect his daughter is insane. Basically, he ends up quite dead at the end.
Yes.
He is the boss was kind of like, well, I can forgive you trying to protect your daughter. I understand how you did that. But you went to the outside. You called the cops. And you should have never done that. Mm-hmm. And so they sit down and they poison him. They give him, like, something. And they're all talking all nice to him as he's choking to death and dying. They're like, oh, it's okay. Creepy. They're like, oh, it's okay. You know, we'll take care of your daughter for you. And I was like, oh, my God.
Well, that's what she wanted all along. She wanted to take care of the daughter. But I thought, like, the poison was interesting because she said it's not in the drink. It's in the glass.
Right.
That's what they should have done on Human Target last week.
That's true. Except that they didn't have access to his glasses ahead of time. But I liked that. That whole scene was the creepiest scene ever. Oh, and they also, the new villain, her right-hand guy is a dude from Lost. He played Faraday.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool.
So instead of playing a brilliant scientist like he played on Lost, now he's a backwood, redneck, white trash guy. Like, he's just...
I can see that. Well, he did play Charles Manson.
Oh, I never saw him.
Which is more to his type. Than the Lost character was, I think.
That's I guess, yeah. But he's doing a really good job as kind of a villain in the at least that's where the arc is going.
Okay,
and I like it. Cool. What are you gonna say, Ronnie?
Oh, I was also gonna say it was interesting because when Raylan, you know, this is a small, closed off town, and Raylan comes in, and everybody knows Raylan from growing up. You know, I thought that was really interesting too.
Well, they do that. They did it in first season too. But yeah, the fact that every single person in town knows who he is. And they're like, oh, we saw your hat last week or whatever, because the finale of season one was like a big case or whatever, so everybody saw him on television recently. So that was all, I mean, the Raylan stuff was good, but I think that them setting up the arc for season two was really the important thing for this week, and I thought it was great.
Definitely.
And I'm terrified for this kid. I'm like, come on, get her out of there, man. All right, so next up we have... the season premiere.
The series
premiere.
Timothy Oliphant's new movie. What is that coming up?
Oh, it's I Am Number Four. It's in a week.
Yeah, it's in like a week or two, something like that.
I really liked him. I didn't see this episode. I haven't seen any of the season two, but I really liked it. I don't know where I found it last year, but it came out of nowhere and it didn't seem like a show I would love. But I really like his character so much and I like what he's done, so I want to see him in more work. So,
He's great.
Yeah.
The series premiere of Mr. Sunshine. You're laughing already. I take it that means you like it.
It's a Matthew Perry vehicle, so it's weird and it's offbeat humor and I guess I like it. I think it has potential. To see what's her name from West Wing?
Allison Janney.
I think she went a little bit over the top. It's the first episode, so it's not quite gelled for me. It didn't quite gel for me.
Well, she was playing the type of character who had to be over the top.
Yeah,
the whole show is going to be a little over the top.
Right.
But, you know, can we accept enough of it? Can we chew enough of it to swallow?
Right.
Basically.
I think that, you know, her opening line was, I don't like clowns. And then a couple of minutes later, you see there's a bunch of clowns hanging around. So you kind of know where that's going.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but I have to say her reaction to seeing them was way past what I thought it was going to be. I didn't see her throwing children at them. So I have to say that was unexpected. But I think that the only thing is you're right about the whole Matthew Perry vehicle because I kind of felt like I've seen this character before. I was like...
Well, yeah, it's everything Matthew Perry's ever done.
Yeah, I was like, this seems very, very familiar. But Allison Janney and her relationship with her son, I'm putting that in parentheses because I don't know if I believe that he's her son. Like, that looks like that could be interesting. And that guy is so incompetent, it's fantastic.
I loved her like insanely racist song.
Oh my god! Oh, and then they have like all the stars. The dude from Lost, Jorge Garcia.
Yeah.
He's like, there's an elephant in the building. He's like, I don't understand what you're saying. Can you say that in Spanish? He goes, there's an elephant in the building. I don't understand Spanish. Can we try that again? Oh, and
yes.
Like, oh,
yes.
There's an elephant in the room. He's like, don't tell me about it. He goes, no, really.
There's an elephant in the room.
I think that, like I said, it's Matthew Perry's show, and his he doesn't have a real wide range of humor. It's kind of within his
comfort
wheelhouse.
Zone.
Yeah, whatever it is, that's what you're going to get. And I hope that they provide more things like what's his name that you just said?
Jorge?
Jorge is actually, I think, got a lot of comedy potential, so I hope they use him for that. You know, I hope they let some of the other people...
Make it more of an ensemble?
Make it more of an ensemble, yeah.
Because the girl, the blonde girl...
Oh, she's like, from Better Off Ted.
She's from Better Off Ted, and I loved her in Better Off Ted.
Right.
So I'm hoping that they give her a little bit more to do than just be, like, the jilted girl.
Well, she also seems to be just like the character in Better Off
Ted. Yeah, I was thinking that, too. I was like, she's very similar to her character.
But not... I don't know. I sort of felt like this her character in this was just a little bit more generic.
Yeah, well, that's not a good thing.
Well, because we haven't seen much.
That's what I mean. Like, I wanted her to be more like her character from Better Off Ted.
Okay. And then the super happy friend who's happy all the time, no matter what time it is. Like, that guy. He was like, even when you missed that shot and they threw your car in the lake, and he was like, oh, it was great. I think that this is interesting. I mean... It's not an A. It's not Modern Family. It's not. Nah. It's not. I don't even know if it's going to be 30 Rock, but it's. I laughed out loud a couple of times. Worth it.
There were a couple funny moments, but I don't think it's very. I don't think it's on the level of like 30 Rock or Modern Family or Community or anything like that.
Right now, I mean, it's only the pilot,
so it could grow.
Yeah, it could get better. Yeah. But at the moment, I'm enjoying it. I'm probably going to keep watching it. I don't know if I'll necessarily keep talking about it on the podcast.
It's only half an hour of your time, you know, as opposed to the dramas that are an hour. So
that's one way to look at it.
You can watch two comedies for the same price.
Watch it a couple more times, at least.
Right. Yeah, and it comes on Wednesdays, and that's a light day for me, so that's probably keeping it in.
Matthew Perry's the writer on that, so
that's makes sense.
Some of that.
All right.
Matthew Perry's like the everything on that show. That's like his baby. Mm.
Okay, we're saying semi-thumbs up, so keep watching. Next show you want to talk about is Big Bang. And this week's episode was Leonard selling his body.
to the mom from Arrested Development.
Right.
Wow, that was interesting. And I also like Sheldon trying to get money when he finally decides he's going to go to the party. Yeah. And he's going to try to get money for his department. Like, his method, it's not the way you do it.
You expect Sheldon to know what to do in a social situation?
It was
after
awesome.
All this time?
Not with humans, no.
It was awesome, and I like the fact that his boss was all adamant about getting him there, and then he's like, you're not invited anymore.
Yeah.
And he's like, you must decide what you want to do. First you said you have to call me, and then you say you don't. He's like... I think you need time to think about what you need to say. Call me back later. I was like, wow. Oh, and I like the fact that Penny kept saying, you need to read that book we got you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that's the thing is apparently...
Whenever they would make like some sort of like sexual reference or some joke about sexuality, Sheldon would get confused for a second.
Right.
And Penny would be like, please, just read the book we gave you.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And, I like that Leonard was very much determined. I'm going to turn her down because she's some old lady I don't like. And then she gives her whole line about all how good she is at sex. And he's like, huh.
Oh, what the hell?
I'm like, huh, all right.
After she says, you're getting the money either way.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if that took the pressure. I think it was the fact that she was alluding to lots of different sexual positions and things that he hasn't done before.
Yeah. You know, I don't watch the show regularly. I watched it this week for the podcast, and I've watched it in the past. And I gotta say, I'm still not sold on it. I'm still not a big fan. I like Sheldon's t-shirts. That's my one of my favorite t-shirts.
Sheldon does have the best t-shirts. Yes.
But other than that, you know, and there were some episodes that I liked Leonard in, but it just doesn't have the bang for me, if you will.
All right. Okay. Well, let's move on.
It's like on that pun.
Yes, and we'll move on to the next show. The next thing that's up is Vampire Diaries. All right, I'm going to let Ronnie go because I know you got something to say.
Watch out, wolves, you know. Another intense episode, you know. More hearts being pulled out, my God.
That's true, and I like the fact that Damon totally predicted it. He said, it's very ironic that you choose to torture me in this room, and he said, there will be hearts pulled out. He did not specify whose, because I think he figured it was going to be him.
Well, yeah.
Right.
That was fantastic. I liked the fact that, once again, Elena was smart. Because I think last week I was complaining that I thought she was stupid.
Well, so she didn't really handle the Rose attack very well.
No, not at all. But this week, she knocked it out of the park. I was like, ooh, she was like, I can smell you. Okay, smell me. All right, let's leave a decoy.
Yeah.
You know, she had like multiple plans within plans.
Yeah.
So
and then we had like her moment with Stefan where she's like, you want to die to protect me. What about me dying to protect everybody else?
Right. And I see her perspective, but I also saw
Stefan made a very good point. Yes,
very good point.
Yes. It's like, I am 160 years old. You are 16.
Right.
I am 10 years older than you. I can die.
10 years?
No, 100.
10 times your age. Sorry.
I was like, what? I like the fact that he was like, my death would be bad, but yours would be tragic.
Yeah.
And that was a very good point. And I think she finally gets it.
Yeah.
And I thought that the whole... I'm not sure about Bonnie torturing / roofying the other... witch.
Yeah.
I mean, granted the information they got was important. However, yeah. I do feel. I mean, and yeah, he betrayed her a little, but it seems like she's going way past. Like everything that he does, it kind of betrays her. Uh-huh. Everything that she does in response is like 10 times worse.
Yeah. Like I don't know. The whole thing with Bonnie for me is like she's dealing with some sort of trauma that she just doesn't know how to handle.
And she's taking it out on other people.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not on board with what she's doing right now.
I'm not either. And even her getting together with Jeremy.
Well, I like her with Jeremy.
Yeah, but the two of them together.
The two of them together was, like, on principle I'm okay with it. How she went about it, I wasn't too happy with.
Oh, you mean because she's swaying between whether she wants Jeremy or she wants the other guy. She wants Jeremy, she wants the other.
Yeah.
But I understood her whole thing in that she grew up with him and her memories of him are him like being 8 years old and you know what I'm saying? So like that all makes sense that she takes forever for her to see him as a guy. So that works. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. All right.
But, yeah, he was the kid brother, you know?
Yeah, yeah. He was the one that was annoying them when they were hanging out together. So yeah. I get it. But, and I don't have a problem with that relationship, but, she's kind of towing the line of evil.
Yeah, she really is.
She's dipping her big toe in that pool.
Well, it seems like it's always the witch who tries to go to be evil first.
Oh, they got all that power. All that power corrupts and all that. But,
yeah. As they say, yes.
How many werewolves have we killed? Like, they killed pretty much all of them.
I think they've killed everybody except for Tyler and the girl.
Yeah, and now
I think there's only two left.
Yeah,
they're gone now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they left town. I'm not sure how long I think Tyler's going to be gone. I mean, I like Tyler, but even though these last few episodes have made me not like Tyler, but then he sort of...
Actually, these last few episodes have made me like him more.
Well, I didn't like him last week. Because I thought he was too much of a coward. Yeah. But it wasn't so much as cowardice is not knowing what the heck to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, because he's getting lied to left and right.
Right. And I get that. And I like that...
And besides being lied to, he's also... I mean, he became a werewolf. Hello. I mean, that upsets you just enough, regardless of being lied to. It's like all of a sudden his body changes and he has no control over it.
Yeah. And here's the other thing that I don't quite get. And I don't know if I just missed it earlier, but... What is this whole thing with whoever breaks the curse gets dominance?
Well, that's the whole thing, because they have the Moonstone. The Moonstone curses both races. Whichever race manages to break the curse, they only break their part of the curse. It doesn't break the whole curse. It only breaks, like, if a vampire breaks the curse, and it breaks their part of the curse.
Yeah. That's just a very convenient kind of curse.
Well, I mean, they established that pretty early on. That's why Klaus tried to break the curse, like, 500 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So... They very much established that that's kind of what's happening, and it all, I mean, if you, the thing is with Vampire Diaries, when you watch a show, you have to accept the rules.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of rules.
There are, yeah.
And so you go, okay, these are the rules for this.
And this is why I like Tyler, especially this week, because he was like, okay, if we break the curse, I don't have to change ever again, I'm okay with that. And then he finds out, wait, to break the curse, we have to kill Elena? Okay, I'm not on board anymore.
Right.
And like, he... And the fact that he was able to turn on it that quickly once he found out, I was like, okay, I like this guy.
That's why I was back on board with Tyler again once he found out what was going on. And you're right, everyone is lying to him. And I guess my response is just that I would have handled the situation a little differently. Like, I would have removed myself from the situation once I realized that everyone was lying. I'd have been like, okay, yeah. You guys fight amongst yourselves. I'm going to be over here. You know, but he ended up just in the middle.
I don't know. It seemed like the werewolves were not going to let him be sidelined.
I don't think so.
They weren't in the fact that they were going to keep bothering him, but outside of kidnapping him, they wanted him to come of his own accord.
Yeah.
And so that's my thing, is that would have never happened with me because too many people were lying.
Right, yeah.
But I like the whole vampire... Eli. Yeah. So Eli walking in and just ripping hearts out left and right. Fantastic. That was awesome. He was like, oh, you want this moonstone? I'll put it right here.
Come
and get it. And it's just like, and hearts start flying.
Yes.
That was great. And I liked when he put Damon in his place too earlier in the episode, because Damon, as much as I love him, he is arrogant, and he's only 150, 160 years old.
Yeah.
Right.
And he goes up against other vamps. Like, I think Eli's like thousands of years old.
Well, arrogance is pretty much Damon's one defining character trait.
That is true. Yeah.
Very true, but at the same time, he has a new girlfriend now, another woman under his belt.
Well, when you say girlfriend,
somebody he's like, what is
she's his lunch. Yeah. He's been feeding off her.
He's feeding on her and he's glamoring her however they do it.
It started with Carolyn, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's like he has to have the one person, you know?
Yeah, but I would say Rose was closer to being his girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm being facetious.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't think
this is not real love.
Of course not, but I mean, feeds off of his arrogance, you know what I mean? And so, because he did have Rose and he's still not over her, he has to go back to his old, you know, sort of MO. And so he has to, you know what I mean? And it feeds back into his arrogance, because he's so, I mean, you know, he's just, he's still not over Rose.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
What was the preview for next week? Was it anything?
I didn't see the preview for next week.
I don't remember if it's anything interesting, but. I don't remember the preview at all, so...
But I think my TV cut it off.
No, mine might have too, but anyway, I like where the story's going. I can't wait for Klaus to show up. I think that's going to be fantastic.
And we still have no idea who's going to be playing Klaus, do we?
I haven't looked.
Okay.
I don't know if I want to know. I want to be surprised.
Yeah.
So, thumbs up. This week's Vampire Diaries had really high body count. I think we had like... I think the beginning of the episode, they were burning bodies of all the people that were killed last week.
Yeah.
And then by the end of this episode, there was a living room full of bodies.
Yep.
So
very high body count.
Very high body count. I was like, yes, that always defines a good episode.
Yes. How many people died this week? Excellent.
All right. Next up is 30 Rock. And this week's episode was... I was afraid because it starts off with Liz and Jack where they exchange the notes where they know what the other person's going to say, and I was all excited. I was like, oh, this is great. And then they talk about they're going to be split for the rest of the episode. And I was like, no more
Liz and Jack. But I thought it was fun.
I thought that what was going on with Jack was fun. Like, the Liz being held hostage on a plane, I don't know.
I enjoyed it just because we got to see more of Carol. And I like Carol.
Well, apparently we're not going to see any more Carol because he tried to shoot her with a gun.
Yeah. Which, you know, I have a whole lot more respect for Liz Lemon now because she just stared down Jason Bourne holding a gun on her.
That was great. He pulls a gun on her and she takes a hostage. She's like, you're going to have to kill him first to get to me.
I love the air marshal. He's like, I am a businessman who is on business. I am not an air marshal.
All that was pretty good, but it just seemed a little...
I agree. The Jack stuff in Canada was much better.
Yeah, me too. I thought that, you know, once they realized she's going to have the baby, they were like, our baby's going to be Canadian.
We cannot have a Canadian baby.
She can never be president if we don't make it back. That was awesome.
It's always fun to rip on the Canadians, I guess. So.
Yeah. They were like, what's wrong? What's wrong with being Canadian? They started listing all the reasons... Yeah. And
I'm trying to remember what they were, because there were, like, some pretty funny ones.
Oh, and I like the fact they're, like, hiking on the side of the road, and they get picked up by the drug guys.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're probably doing something illegal in the back of the truck, but we don't care. We just want to get back to America.
It's a meth lab.
It was great. And they basically, the two of them feed on each other. They're so similar that they can't find that spot where one of them should stop the other one.
Right, yeah.
And then finally Jack was like, I think this is the spot. It's like, I think we've gone too far.
That was true of both of the couples, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That was their theme.
That was the theme.
Except that at least Jack and his girlfriend didn't end up in a gunfight, you know, at the end.
No, they just ended up in a meth lab.
Well, yeah. The more important thing is she was literally going into labor.
Yeah.
And they were being stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, they could have endangered the baby for what they were doing, and they were like, all right, I need to stop.
Mm-hmm. Although, the very last scene where Avery's like, this woman tells us we don't have to pay because they have free health care here.
We will not. Like,
how dare you with your social health care? I will pay for my hospital bill. Who do I have to pay?
Any comments?
I thought it was good. It wasn't great. I mean, I think the ensemble stuff is usually the best stuff. You know, when there's the Lutzes and the, you know, Lutz jokes and Kenneth jokes and Jack and Liz jokes together and stuff like that. And Tracy and Jenna, you know, the interplay between all the characters is great. So when they isolate them, it's limited as to what they can do. I liked the premise of a lot of the jokes, but, you know, they didn't follow through for the entirety of the episode, so...
Well, I guess I said the best episodes for me stick Liz and Don and Jack in a room
and nothing else,
and that's the episode. I'm a happy camper.
I like Kenneth a lot.
Oh, Kenneth!
Kenneth is very strange.
Yeah, I like that.
I do.
That's what I like about him.
Comedy.
Yes, he is very strange, and apparently he's really old. Have you noticed that he'll randomly make comments about his age, and he'll be like 50 or something.
Well, or he'll just like make comments about how he's just an old man. I'm like, okay, I guess people in his hometown don't live very long.
No, they age. Like, he is old.
Okay.
Like, based on, if you listen, he'll make a couple of random comments talking about how long he's been at certain things and done certain things. You're like, how old are you?
Yeah.
And he'll make, that's true. So he's older than he looks is the deal. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's a clone. I think he's an alien.
Could be.
Oh, he's an alien. He's most definitely an alien.
I think so. And everyone in his hometown looks just like him. It's scary.
Yeah.
And I like the Frankenlutz stuff, too.
I don't really like that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't...
Frankenlutz are okay, but... Yeah.
I could deal with that.
They couldn't sustain as long as the Jack and Liz, obviously.
Well, nothing can.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's my thing.
But they're the two strongest actors, I think, on the show.
All right. Next up, we want to talk about Supernatural.
Yay.
Way to be enthusiastic. Ronnie, you got any thoughts?
I mean, let's see. Somebody else say something, and I'll jump in.
Okay. This episode was basically the whole.
Oh, this was
Sam scratching at the wall, which he wasn't supposed to do.
Yeah. Oh yes, and a lot of flashbacks in this episode as well.
Yeah, it was really good. It was a good flashback.
It was good, but you know, there was a part of me that was like, I think we're getting to the scratching at the wall thing and going to a site that we've already been to, unbeknownst to Sam, a little too soon after.
Oh, because he just got his soul back one episode?
Yeah, we had...
Well, actually, I'm actually glad because I'd rather not drag this all out.
I guess, but then, like, you have what we had in this episode was after we've gone through all that, the wall comes tumbling down.
That's true. That was I figured they were going to have a couple more episodes.
Me too, yeah.
But then they were just like... Boom, let's just go there. But I don't think it's permanently down. I don't either.
No, but...
I think that he actually scratched at the wall and got a peek at what was behind it. And so... Because the thing is, I don't think he was legitimately afraid enough. Like Dean would be like, look, dude, you scratch at the wall, you're going to be a dribbling piece of goo on the ground.
Yeah.
And it's really, really dangerous. He goes, oh, I get it's dangerous and I understand that you're scared and you're concerned, whatever, but I'm going to do this, blah, blah, blah.
I can handle it.
He doesn't understand what they're talking about. And
right.
I think that this was a little sample.
So this is just more of a taste than the actual walls come tumbling down. Here is your year in hell.
Right. I think he's going to get a couple of seconds of what it's like and understand that he doesn't want to scratch that wall.
Okay.
I think he needs that fear, and he doesn't have it yet.
Yeah, which is ironic, considering that putting fear into him was the whole point of giving him his soul back.
Well, the point was giving his soul back because he was a monster. He really was.
Yeah, he was a monster, but you know, like just from like the cold hard logic of it, he was getting the job done.
Yeah, but no. But he was as bad as the monsters that they hunted.
This is true. This
because is the true. One like the one sheriff guy. I mean, look at the whole thing that happened to him. Because it's like all he wanted to do was kill, you know, sort of the original arachnid.
Yeah.
But what he did, it caused all this more because he didn't have a heart. You know what I mean? He didn't have the soul. He didn't have those kind of feelings.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
And so it's just, you know, so the whole episode was showing what, you know, what happens when you don't have those feelings, that all these unintended consequences come up, you know, because you have to have that soul.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
you know what? Shoot, I just thought of, like, with V, we need to have Anna come over to Supernatural and then she'll figure it out.
And then she will have her soul isolated for her.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes.
though there is no machine for that. But
she'll just kidnap an angel.
That's what we need.
Yeah, I liked as they reveal, slowly peeled back the flashbacks, you got a better and better idea of what happened in the town.
It was very well structured, this episode.
Yeah, and they did get me with the whole psych out where you see him standing on the porch and you know it's a trap. And you see the spider eyes or whatever, and someone comes up behind him, and it's Dean. I was like, "Oh, I can't believe I fell for that."
Yeah,
yeah. So that was.
Yeah, I fell for that, and you know, I thought the arachnid was the wife for pretty much all the way up to the end.
I thought that she either it was her or was possessing her or something,
or she was in cahoots with it. Like she already knew what had happened that Sam had killed her husband, and so she was working with the arachnid to lay this trap for him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that. But I think as a whole, the episode was good. Next week looks like a standard episode, which is weird, which is what leads me to believe that the whole drooling mess thing is only temporary.
Okay.
So, anyway, anybody else got any comments for Supernatural?
This week and last week, my reaction starting the episode has always been Dean is being a quipper and Sam is being a whiny little girl. All is right with the world again.
I did think that too. Like on this episode especially, I was like, Sam, stop whining.
Yeah.
You know, but it's standard procedure. That's what Sam does.
Yes.
All right. Next up is Archer. And this week's episode was
the paternity test.
Yes,
awesome.
I think the episode's called something in the blood or whatever.
Something like that, but like just the fact that they have to take a liter of his blood.
Well, they just did that to screw with him.
I just thought it was hilarious how like the whole episode he's like, wow, I really need more blood.
And he kept drinking alcohol on top of it.
Yeah, he's like, maybe if I drink more booze, it will make up for the lack of blood I have.
And everyone's like, no, that's a very bad idea. And he's wasted. The thing I like about Archer is the premise is always insane.
Oh yeah,
it's absolutely insane. And who's the agent chick? The black woman.
I know Aisha Tyler does the voice. I can't remember her character's name though.
Her whole thing about thinking maybe I want a baby, like all that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh, and then the butler dude was a heroin.
Yes.
Oh my god, that was awesome.
Oh, it was so great.
And he kept
great.
Scratching. He was like, the spiders.
The spiders are in my blood, the spiders.
And then they gave the other guy, they took a liter of his blood and gave him heroin for like no reason.
Yeah.
They're like, well, why are we giving him heroin?
Oh, Cyril. It's just because it's Cyril, that's why.
It's like, what? And he switches the blood and it still was his. And what I wasn't
clear. Didn't like two people come in and rape him?
Yes.
While he was out.
But what was great is I was like, are they saying that Cyril's really the father of the baby or that the Odin just made it his baby regardless? Like, I wasn't sure what they were saying on that.
I think Cyril's the father.
Okay.
But, you know, it's Archer. Should we really be reading this deeply into it?
I don't know. I just thought that whole scenario was great because he switches it. It's like if he hadn't switched it, you might have been all right, dude.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that both of them used a candy bar wrapper as a condom wrapper.
Yeah.
Like, really? All right.
Hey, it's
Archer. I like the fact that he was like, I was hungry. And she's like, he's like, I like candy. She's like, and I like to ovulate. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Great episode.
Yes.
As always.
And the next week's episode, I saw the preview.
I didn't see the preview for next week.
It looks pretty good.
Oh, cool.
So this show is so silly and so hilarious.
I love it.
I cannot help sing the praises. All right, next up is Spartacus, and I know that I am the lonely soul who watched it this week.
I am still catching up. I will get there.
Well, it's just weird because the reason even though normally I won't talk about a show if other people haven't seen it, this week I do because it's only 6 episodes of Spartacus.
And this is, what, 4?
Episode 4. And I have to say, I was at the end of my rope with the orgies.
Oh, okay.
Because they've been doing them every week, and it's building up to a theme. And I get the theme, and I get what they're trying to say, but I'm like, all right, I'm tired of it.
Okay.
Which sounds strange, but it's true, because the orgies always make me really uncomfortable. Not because I'm uncomfortable around the sex part, it's the fact that they've got the slaves, and they make them... have sex for the... Basically, it's old school porn.
Right.
So basically what it is they get the slaves and the gladiators to have sex so that the rich people can watch them.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, they were doing that in season one, too.
Yeah, but they really have focused this season on showing how it affects the slaves.
Oh, okay.
So, like, this one girl was, like, a virgin,
mm-hmm.
and they just brutalized her.
Ooh.
It was... awful.
Ooh.
And I don't even know the woman's name, but I was traumatized watching it.
Ooh. Okay.
So after that, from last week, this week, she just was literally, they had her thrown on a table, and the look in her eyes, she was just like dead.
She's gone.
Yeah. She's like dead inside. Oh, you know? Wow. And so, yes, they did it last year, but they didn't focus on it. They didn't make
true.
It seem...
It was more... They were showing it from the perspective of the elites.
Right. Like, and this season...
I can't remember the woman's name, but like she was...
Lucretia?
No, not Lucretia. Her friend/rival.
Oh, I forgot her name too.
The
blonde
chick. Who was like, I want to watch a gladiator have sex.
Yeah. And that didn't seem like a big deal, but in this season, what they show is the first time it happens. Like,
okay.
It had never happened before.
Huh.
And the first time it happens, and all the ramifications, and... they basically... Doc Tory and his wife, that you don't know about...
well, I knew he had one.
Right. And she ended up being the first that ended up having to have sex with someone who wasn't Doc Tory. Actually, it was Doc Tory's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And if all it was that... they probably couldn't have got away with the lie, but once they ended up having sex, they realized they were attracted to each other, which is very bad. Because it was like, this week's episode, there was this great line where the friend is kind of like, you know, I have feelings for you and I wouldn't be honest if I didn't tell you. And she was like, well, reverse it. What if you were my husband and I was sleeping with Dr. Tory? She's like, how would you feel? And he was like, I would kill us both.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would kill you both or whatever. And then he kisses her. And I was like, dude. I was like, oh, that's how this ends. That's why he doesn't have a wife anymore.
It's like, what, you don't find that hot?
No, I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. But what was great is there's this moment at the end of the episode where everything kind of comes to a head. And I finally, because what's interesting about the prequel, remember the guy that's his enemy in season one? The blonde dude, blonde gray guy?
Oh, yeah, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, he's like his enemy in season one. What's cool in the prequel is they're best friends.
Oh, really?
And so they've been best friends for like all these episodes, but now in this episode, I was like, that's the moment.
That's,
I was like, right there, that's the moment of betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. And Lucretia had her switch too, because Lucretia in the prequel has been really naive, which is so weird. She's like a completely different character.
Oh,
she's
wow.
super naive. She's super nice. She just cares about everybody. And you're just like,
that's not the Lucretia I know.
Exactly. And so the end of this episode, that's what changes Lucretia. You finally get that moment that where you see her change. And then, Badiatis, thank you.
Yeah.
Badiatis has this moment with his father because first of all, you see him on his own at the beginning of the prequel, and then his father shows up and starts taking over, and you're like, he basically treats Badiatis like a kid.
Oh.
And so that's so bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And he put down an ultimatum.
Mm-hmm.
He told Badiatis he either has to divorce Lucretia or give up the house.
Yikes.
And I was like, you're forgetting a third option, which includes him killing you.
Yeah.
Bec- because I was like...
And, you know, for Bodyitis, that's like option number one.
Right. And I was kind of thinking about that. I was like, dude, he's not going to give up his wife. Because he's like, I love her.
Yeah.
And I granted he loves his fortune, but he's going to see a third option, which is even if he gives up Lucretia and comes back to the house, his father is still going to have control over him.
Right, exactly.
So, and he hates it.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he give up his wife and go to that kind of situation?
Right, yeah.
Because now his father has just not only controlled him, has totally controlled everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, nah, dude, mm-hmm. he's totally killing you.
Yeah, you're toast.
So that's pretty much how the episode ended. Okay. And it's everything's building because, man, the stuff that happened in this week's episode is fantastic.
Mm.
And we've only got two episodes left, and it's going to be a bloodbath.
Oh, man. Okay.
I see that coming. I was like, oh, he's got to die, and he's got to die, and, you know.
Okay, so, well, hopefully I'll be all caught up by the time we get to it.
Yes, that would be great. Yes. Hurry, hurry, hurry. All right, so that's it for this week's podcast, and we'll talk to you guys next week. If you have any feedback, remember you can send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @tvcampfire. We're on Facebook and my never updated blog, but I shall do better, tvcampfire.com. And talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.